Yesterday, we noted the change that took place in the that area of the world, Persia, that the previous empires, the the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and pretty much everybody had the idea that when you are in charge of a territory, you enforce one common way of life, one religion, one set of gods, and anybody who doesn't follow that gets persecuted, which is why the Jews were persecuted by these dominating empires. But when Cyrus came along, Cyrus, of king of Persia, came along, he changed it, and he said, well, no, it's acceptable to have a certain amount of diversity in the empire. You're still members of the Persian Empire, but you can have your own gods. So he allowed the Babylonians to keep their religion, even though he conquered them, and he allowed the Jews to have their religion. They could even go back to Jerusalem and build the temple, and that was mentioned again in today's first reading again from the prophet Ezra, the reading that describes not only are the Jews allowed to practice their religion, but they get support from the government, even from the taxes of the local region. So that's quite an extraordinary change in political system and in culture, allowing diversity and even supporting it. Then in today's gospel, we read this passage where Jesus makes a surprising statement about who's included among his mother and his brothers. We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to the religious interpretation, let me just remind you that in modern secular culture, especially in the West, maybe almost exclusively in the West, there's a lot of talk about diversity, a lot of talk about who's included and who's excluded. There's a movement that summarizes the principles of diversity, and they call it DEI. You've heard of this DEI, diversity, equity. The I is inclusivity or inclusiveness, something like that. And the idea is that people who are experiencing discrimination should be protected and should be given a means to be more fully integrated into the different levels of society, organizations, government, organizations, schools, and whatnot. The difficulty that comes in, though, once you get, you're emphasizing diversity, instead of including more people, you're actually dividing them into more and more groups. And so it becomes controversial. As soon as you identify people as a member of one group that's discriminated against, you in a sense discriminate against all the people who are not in that group, because you create this exclusive category, and these categories are multiplying. So I just recently I read about a university in the States that has a center for diversity and inclusiveness. I might have the terms wrong, but the idea is, you know, we want to have a place on campus that where people feel welcome. They won't be discriminated against. They won't be excluded. And in the little advertisement for this center of diversity, it says this place is a place for our students, especially students who are risk discrimination. So the first category was women. So women are the first category, are those welcome to this center. The second category, those who identify as LGBTQIA. So, and any kind of gender diversity, I guess is the term. And then people from underrepresented racial groups, foreign students, people of color, people of different races, all welcome into the center. And then the disabled. Okay, so disabled people are welcome into the center. So all the women and all the LGBT and all the foreign students and people from different races and all the disabled or people, the PWD, all welcome. So I said, no. I'm one of the only people who's not welcome in this group. I can't go to that center because I'm excluded from all those subcategories. Now, I say this is a little difficult because as soon as you start emphasizing what identifies a group, then you have to, at the same time, identify what doesn't, who's not included. That's why I said, oh, I'm excluded. Here's a center of inclusivity and diversity, and white men aren't allowed to go there. At least straight white men aren't allowed to go there. Okay. Now, that's the secular world, and that's the kind of the current conversation. Well, what about the kingdom of God? Today's gospel actually addresses this head on. How do we get a connection to Jesus? How do we belong to his group? Well, the most obvious connection and the most fundamental connection for anybody is family. And the most fundamental relationship in family, or the most obvious, is mother-child. It's right in biology. And it's obvious that this one is the mother and this one is her child. And these are her children. You can't deny it. And the mother knows exactly which people come from her womb. Sometimes there's a dispute over who's the father. The mother usually knows, but if there's any question, they can do a DNA test and they can figure it out. But it's not as obvious who the father is. It's always obvious who the mother is. So that's the beginning. So, okay, so how could we be related to Jesus? Well, we could be born of the same mother. The only problem is Mary only has one child. She only bore one child. So Jesus doesn't have any brothers or sisters. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have any children. So we're already limiting the number of people who could be related, closely related. He does have some relatives. The scriptural term for these people is brothers. So these are cousins of some kind or another. First cousins, second cousins, third cousins. I don't know how they're related. On maybe Mary's aunts and uncles, or Mary's cousins, children of her cousins, Joseph's cousins and their descendants. And like any family, the further you look, the more you can find people who are connected in the family ties. But most people are not. I mean, if you look around, you say, well, how many of us are related? How many of us are closely enough related to call ourselves cousins? Well, maybe a few in the community. So if we use those family ties, it ends up being exclusive. So along come Jesus' mother and brothers. And Jesus is told, they're outside and they wish to see you. Now, this is Luke's version, which is much shorter. If you look at Matthew's version and Mark's version, Jesus asks the strange question, well, who's my mother? Who's my mother? It's a very provocative question. Luke doesn't include that. And sometimes the scholars will say, well, because Luke's gospel is the most Marian of all the gospels. And so he doesn't let Jesus say anything that insulting to his mother. But still, the first impression is left that Jesus is somehow distancing himself from his mother. But that's only a first impression. Notice that Jesus does not say, she's not my mother. He said, they're not my brothers. He doesn't give the negative. He doesn't give the exclusive way of saying it. He says something very inclusive. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. Which is not exclusive at all, except where it excludes people who don't act on the word of God. But you have to have some distinctions. But it's very inclusive. Anyone can hear the word of God and act on it. Anyone can be part of the spiritual family of Jesus, including his mother, Mary. She heard the word of God and acted on it. She's the greatest example of it. The brothers, the cousins, according to the scriptures, some of the brothers were disciples of Jesus. Some of the brothers thought he was out of his mind. And maybe even some of them were both disciples who thought he was out of his mind. But in any case, the standard is not the blood ties. The standard is hearing the word and acting on it. Now, again, Matthew's gospel says it differently. He says, those who are my mother and my brothers are those who do the will of my Father in heaven. So we have the same Father, and that's true. Here it's hear the word of God and act on it. But we can put them together. To hear the word of God is an act on, is to do the will of the Father, because the Father's word is Jesus Christ, and to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be one of God's children. It's to be included in this category of the family. So that's very good news for all of us, whether we belong to any other category, men, women, rich, poor, young, old, slave or free, or any other categories that are coming up all over the place now, different racial categories, language categories, geographical categories. If you want to use categories, you can find, you can divide, we can divide ourselves into as many people as there are. But that's not what Jesus does. He says, whoever hears the word and acts on it is a member of the family. So our response to that is, let's hear the word of God and act on it. Let's take the opportunity to participate in the kingdom of God, in the family of God.